Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
8:24 now, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Just when we thought Raphael was over with, there's something else down there that they're looking at, and Bridget Lim joins us now from the National Weather Service. How you doing, Bridget?
I'm fine, thank you. How about you?
I'm okay. Thanks for taking the time with us. Before we get to the tropics, let's talk about what's going on with the rain here and the rest of the week. What's that looking like?
Okay, so we do kind of have like the remnants of Raphael lurking in the area, and we will have some moderate rain chances as the week goes. So like, for example, today we'll have about 20%, and then it'll be kind of on and off through Thursday.
Kind of like drizzly like it has been, almost not squally because I guess it's not windy, but that kind of thing?
Yeah, like, you know, maybe your typical light to moderate showers. We're not expecting too many thunderstorms, at least.
So street flooding, not a real concern at this point?
So we aren't really too concerned with the coastal flooding because the winds are coming offshore now, so that should help flush some of the water that's been piling up the past few days.
And what about street flooding with the rain?
I can't 100% rule it out. Sometimes you'll just get like some that stay in the same place over and over, but that should be a relatively low risk.
Well, let's face it, it's New Orleans. There's always a risk of street flooding whenever it rains, right? What about beyond that, Bridget, with a cool front? Can we look forward to any cool weather coming up?
We'll have cooler weather. We're still going to be a little bit like maybe closer to what would be normal, but we're still going to have highs in like the 80s after the cool front comes through and a couple days come by. So we'll have a little bit of it. So it's kind of like, you know, maybe a false fall kind of feel.
So what's happening with maybe Sarah or some area, an area in the, I guess that would be the, what is that, the Caribbean?
Yes, that's correct.
And what is going on down there and what's likely to develop?
So right now, we're not worried about anything in the short term. We do have a 40% chance of formation in the next 7 days. So there's just a disturbed area in the Caribbean. Looking at the models, it looks like there may be something that's trying to form near Honduras. But I definitely just keep an eye on it. And right now, because of just like having cold fronts and all this other hostile environment for the hurricanes, I'm not too excessively worried about it coming to hit us anytime soon, but just something to keep an eye on.
What is the likelihood, even I'm going back to Milton now, of the conditions in the Gulf? And I know the wind shear decapitated Raphael, right? But the likelihood of anything like this, if it's called Sarah, I think would be the next name if it were to develop. Would that, I mean, are the conditions likely for anything to really develop or strengthen here, or is it a shoo-shoo?
So we do expect some kind of development. Like right now we have about a 40% chance in the next 7 days, so it's definitely possible. But like I said, the Gulf is going to be generally hostile, and we do have like cold fronts moving further south. That should help keep that at bay, but right now it's just a little too far out that I can't say with confidence.
So, on a scale of 1 to 10, as far as us watching this, being concerned with this, you'd put it where?
I mean, it's something to watch, but not something to, like, take, you know, tons of time out of your day. I'd give it, like, maybe a 3.
Okay, so it could develop into something?
Yeah, but I don't see it affecting Louisiana, at least in the next 7 days. It's something we just got to keep an eye on.
Okay. So I know, you know, there's a long time, and there's not even anything that it's a chance of tropical development. But I guess if something were to develop, what I'm trying to get to is this thing blowing up and anything like that, the Gulf is not favorable toward that at this time of year, correct?
Yes, that's correct. We might have, like, if it were to get into the Gulf, we may have, like, peripheral impacts, kind of like what we had with Raphael. But I would not expect anything too crazy, but it's something we still do have to keep an eye on.
Gotcha. And real quick, looking way up to Canada and the Arctic and all of that, do you see any real cold weather coming this way anytime soon?
Unfortunately, it's still we're still looking at above normal temperatures. Maybe in the further future, we'll have a little bit of better cold fronts. But yeah, at least for the foreseeable future, it's still going to be like this slightly above normal temperatures that we've been having.
And we're defining foreseeable future like a couple of weeks?
Like maybe next 7 to 10 days.
Okay. Thank you, Bridget. Anything I'm missing you wanted to bring up?
No, I think that's it for now. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Bridget Lim, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service. We just wanted to keep you apprised of what's going on down there. The texts continue to pour in about our veterans as we honor them on this Veterans Day. I don't want to leave anybody out. I'm trying to get to as many as I possibly can. Lieutenant Leo James O'Rourke. Sergeant Lee Miles Godbold, Washington Artillery, killed in action in Iraq, 2005. I got to bring up also Brian Bates, who is a young man that I kind of adopted because he was buried in West Lawn Cemetery across from my parents, and I just happened to notice that he was killed in action on the day of my mother's birthday. So thank him for his service. Grandpa Frank Giolando, WWL Army cook, Dad Korean War gunny. My dad, Herbert Holder, U.S. Army, Europe D-Day. Happy Veterans Day to my big brothers, Kim Lacombe, Army Desert Storm, Shane Lacombe, Army, and my son, Matthew Lacombe, currently in the Marine Corps, so a family of service there. Deirdre Harris, Navy, Craig Harris, Matthew Harris, and Jessica Harris, Air Force. Mom, dad, son, and daughter is a military family. And thank you to my late husband, Sergeant Leon Gabala, served in the Air Force during Vietnam. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Leslie Harris, a city council member, about what's passed with the election on Tuesday and what happens with homeless people from here on in. Right now it's time for WWL First News.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
844, 16 before 9 on this Veterans Day 2024. Leslie Harris joins us, New Orleans council member, talk about a thing that passed last Tuesday, a measure that was really, when it comes to affordable housing, is going to help a lot of veterans who constitute a considerable amount of homeless people. Good morning, Councilmember Harris. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Veterans Day.
And the same to you. Tell me about the percentage, or at least what your research, what your interaction, your personal experience has shown with veterans being homeless on the streets of New Orleans.
Yeah, we do have a lot of veterans who are homeless on our streets. A lot of people don't realize that we are home. New Orleans is home to a lot of veterans generally, which is a great thing. But we do experience veterans who are homeless. The VA does a lot of great work getting folks housed who are veterans, as does Bastion. And I just want to give a shout out to Bastion because they are a fantastic organization that focuses on housing veterans, veterans' mental health, and other services to people who have served. It's a great community, and the founder, Jackson, is an amazing person, and I hope to see him today at the World War II Museum.
And it's one thing, the reason I brought it up, Leslie, it's one thing, you know, say Happy Veterans Day and thank you for your service,
yeah,
but it's another thing to actually try to find somebody that served the country that's on the street and get them into a home.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And look, I come from a family of veterans. My grandfather served in World War II. My father served in Vietnam. I have countless cousins who have also served. And, you know, it really is, frankly, a difficult situation to come home from service and find yourself stranded and homeless. And I do think we have to take care of our men and women who have served our country. Again, I think our VA does great work, and there are other services that are aimed at veterans finding housing and getting the services that they need.
Why do you think the charter change passed so overwhelmingly last Tuesday?
Yeah, 75% of our voters voted for it. I think we had a great network of folks who were out there pounding the pavement, knocking doors, making sure that people understood what the charter amendment was for. So the Housing Trust Fund passed overwhelmingly. And it, again, I think New Orleanians understand the need for housing generally, but also the preservation of housing in our community. So I'm really thankful for everyone who voted for it, all of the volunteers and the folks who were really out there talking about it. And, you know, it was really a joyful time to celebrate that passage.
For people that don't know what exactly passed, take us through it, council member, if you would, please.
Sure. So what passed was a charter amendment to basically the New Orleans charter that 2% from here on out of the city's budget would go to affordable and workforce housing, both the creation and preservation of rental housing, but also the creation of home ownership opportunities for folks who are looking to be first-time home buyers, but also for folks who have homes that are falling into disrepair, programs to help them get their housing shored up, to fortify roofs. So really, it is just an overall investment in housing in the state of New Orleans. And again, 75% of our voters voted for it, and I think that's a fantastic thing.
So how do you create more rental properties or affordable rental properties?
Well, yeah, that's the way that we create it is to work with folks like People's Housing Plus and other investors to provide opportunities for housing and investment. And we have to really braid the funding together. So we look at federal funding, we look at state funding, but now we have a source of city funding that investors and developers can use in order to create affordable housing. This council, and I've said it before on with you, this council has invested over $49 million in gap financing for affordable housing. And it's really something that I'm proud that my colleagues have decided is worthwhile and worthy. But we are creating hundreds of new units for rental housing. And we know that our rental stock is falling into disrepair. And so new rental housing is critical to make sure that New Orleanians can stay in New Orleans.
So when you say you're a skilled, gifted attorney, Leslie, I'm not, and I'm trying to figure out, and you have vision and all that stuff, and I'm trying to figure out how do you create affordable housing? And are you talking about building new housing or changing what's now not affordable into? Take me through that, if you would.
Sure. It can be both. It can be building new housing. So there are new projects that are in the pipeline to build new rental housing and to build new housing. But there's also the opportunity to transform blighted properties into properties that can be used for rental. We look at the Louisiana Firehouse, for example, which is a city-owned property. And through partnership of NORA, Finance, New Orleans, People's Housing Plus, and a developer will be new rental units that come online as well as a child care center. But that's not the only thing that's going up. There's property that's city-owned over near the French Quarter that New Orleans NORA owns that will be redeveloped into new rental property, an absolute new building. And again, that's through funding used from the city, property from the city, but also braiding city funding, federal funding, and state funding together in order to create brand new units for rental.
Let me sneak a break in, and we'll talk about NORA when we come back and what the administration of this 2% looks like that the voters approved. At least 2% of the city's annual budget, starting in 2026, goes into that fund. We're talking to Leslie Harris, New Orleans City Council member, about providing affordable housing. And again, veterans sometimes are homeless, and it's not just for veterans. It's for people that really are the lifeblood of the city's economy when it comes to service workers. 8:51 now, 9 till 9, traffic, WWL. 8:56 and a half. Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Leslie Harris, our friend, New Orleans City Council member, talking about affordable housing and the charter amendment that passed by 75% or with 75% of the vote last Tuesday. Let me read this text to you, council member. It says, what about the people in the middle? It seems most of these places, your income has to be significantly low, but affordable housing should be for everyone. What about the poor? What about the person who makes a decent income but still finds $1,900 too much for rent? There's a lot packed in there with, you know, I don't know what they determine to be a decent living, but then that goes to what you're spending your money on, et cetera, et cetera. How do you parse all of that?
Yeah, well, I think it's a supply and demand issue. If we have more supply of housing, which the housing trust fund will create, then the amount of rent should go down. So I really do think it's a supply and demand issue. I know that rent is very high. I know that home prices are very high in New Orleans. And we know from a study that was commissioned by the mayor that the majority of New Orleanians are rent or house burdened, meaning they are spending the majority of their income on rent or their housing payments. So again, I think it's a supply and demand problem. We need to create more housing, both affordable and workforce. So the people who are working, our teachers, our police officers, our firefighters, need to have a place that's affordable. And I think by having and passing the housing trust fund, we're going to create that housing.
Do you have a sliding scale or something, or how do you determine who qualifies for this, or is it that far along yet?
It's So what we have done is passed an ordinance that effectuates the housing trust fund. We did not, and intentionally, we did not include what the federal guidelines are for affordability to allow for that sort of sliding scale and to address the missing middle, the folks who are making a decent income but who still can't afford to make rental payments or who can't afford down payments for a home. So we very much intentionally did not include the 80 to 120 AMI, which is the federal guideline, so that we could determine based on what the economy of the time looks like so that we could address those folks who are in the middle.
Is there a way for people to go online, find out more about this, or is this a work in progress? How do they do it, Leslie?
Sure. I certainly will post on our social media more information, and then they can also go to nolahousing.com and get more information.
Effectuates, huh? Now you're showing off. Just kidding. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Tommy. Bye-bye.
Leslie Harris, New Orleans City Council. Remember, we're going to take a break. We come back. We're going to take a deep dive into illegal immigration and the immigration system in the United States. Well, we've seen the Biden administration. What are we likely to see in the new Trump administration? And I want you all to get involved here. 504-260-1870. If you have any questions or comments, none of them are dumb when it comes to immigration because none of us know it all. We'll be back, WWL.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.